Read one. Well, I'll read two verses tonight, amen. So let's all stand one more time if you would. Again, just out of love and respect for the Bible. Also, it's not a bad idea to stretch your legs one more time. Amen. I don't plan on being long, but I never do, amen. So, seriously, I don't. We're going to have more of a, just kind of a Bible study here tonight. But in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ. That's a good start for anything, amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines. And there's enough of those to go around. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. I want to preach to you tonight. We're still talking about a better church. We would be a better church if we will learn this thing called consistency. Consistency. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Thank you again for all that you do for us. Thank you for this church and this place that you've given us, Lord. The comforts, Lord God, that we have here. Lord, we thank you for loving us and providing food and shelter and clothing and, Lord God, income and health. And Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that we have a church and have a Bible and your Holy Spirit. I pray now you would move in this place. Grow us up, Lord God. Teach us these things. Help us, Father. Speak to our hearts wherever we need it. Lord, I pray that you would work. In Jesus' name, amen. I mean, please be seated. Consistency. This is going to be closely related to last week's topic of commitment. You'll never be consistent until you're committed, right? You'll never be consistent until you're committed. We said commitment means dedicated, loyal, and at all cost. I want to show you something that I didn't get in the message last week, but I want to show you something regarding commitment. Turn back with me to Psalm 15, the 15th Psalm. Let me show you a Bible definition here of commitment, and then it's going to go right into consistency. Psalm 15, verse 1. We'll be right back to Hebrews in just a second. It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? The word abide means dwell, stay. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Here's the answer. He that walketh uprightly. That's a decision that you make. That's a commitment. I'm going to walk uprightly.
Yeah.
Okay? And worketh righteousness. I'm going to do that which is righteous. And speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. You understand? That's a decision that you make. We're talking about commitment now. We're just kind of tying these two together from last week to this week. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. It's real easy to hurt people with your tongue, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's too easy. It's too easy. But if we're going to abide in the tabernacle in God's holy hill, what does that mean? That means we're going to stay in his presence. We're going to be committed to not leave his presence. We're going to have to be very careful not to backbite with our tongue, not to do evil to our neighbor, not, verse 3, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In other words, amen, you don't have anything against your neighbors, your friends. Remember, the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. But again, those neighbors, listen, I'm not just talking about the people that live beside you. Because, well, that's hard enough sometimes. But I mean, these are just other people around you.
Yeah.
You don't backbite. You don't do evil. You don't take up a reproach. What does that mean? You don't spend time trying to get even. You don't spend time trying to disgrace them, trying to hurt them. Boy, this is what I'm talking about. Commitment has nothing to do with my feelings toward them.
Right.
Look again in verse 4. Now, look at this now. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. Now, the word contemned doesn't mean condemned. It means they're cast out as being vile. You separate yourself from them. You don't run with them. Okay, listen now. It doesn't mean that you don't like them. It doesn't mean that you don't want them to get saved, but you have to be very careful. You have to see people the way God sees them. A vile person is a sinful, an evil, a wicked person, a child of Belial. And that person is to be contemned in your eyes.
Right.
Okay? That means that person is to be looked at, basically, beware of that person.
Right.
Be careful for that person. That person is dangerous.
Yeah.
But it says, you contemn that vile person, but you honor them that fear the Lord. See, you forsake the foolish, and you go to those who are righteous and wisdom and wise. These are decisions that we make. Listen, because we want to dwell and abide in God's presence. I'm reading on here in verse 4. Look at this now, the end of verse 4. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. Again, I'm still talking about commitment, but listen here. In other words, even if it hurts, I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. I'm going to keep my word. Y'all, listen to me. That's a committed person. You understand something? That's a person that's committed to being in the presence of God, to dwelling in His presence. I'm going to do what I say. Listen to me now. And the Bible says it word for word, to his own hurt, even if it hurts. You say, not sin. But even if it hurts. Obviously, we're not talking about doing things that are sinful and hurting ourselves. We're talking about doing something that we don't want to do. Something that maybe hurts. Yeah. Whether it be physically, whether it be mentally, emotionally, it hurts. Right. But God says, if this person is going to dwell in my tabernacle, in my holy hill, then he's going to have to do something whether he likes it or not. If it's right, it's right.
Yeah.
That's commitment. Okay? Notice it says in verse 5, and this even goes down to money here, he that putteth not out his money to usury. In other words, you don't lend money and for interest. Right. Okay, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things, notice what it says, shall never be moved. Now, you can't just be committed to never be moved. Okay, are you listening to me tonight? You can't just jump to the end of that chapter. You have to understand, I have to be committed to all of these things, and then I won't have to worry about being moved. You see? Instead of saying, well, I'm committed to not be moved away from the cause of Christ. That's wonderful, but you got to get these things in order first. Okay? Commitment. Now, commitment is a good start for to have a better church. God's people being committed to do what's right, even when it hurts. Now go back to her. Yeah, amen. Oh, amen. Hebrews 13. It does hurt sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, your old body drags around sometimes after working all day and after being out in the heat or the cold, whatever the case may be. You got people beating on you. You got family, you know, friends. You got co-workers. You got, I don't mean literally beating on you, but I mean, you know, with their tongue. And you want to backbite. You want to get even. All of those things, listen, all of that's a reality, folks.
Right.
I'm going to be committed to Christ. I'm going to be careful. I'm going to do these things in order the way they're listed here so that I won't be moved away from Christ.
Yeah.
It's commitment. It has nothing to do. Again, it says, even if it hurts. And it does sometimes. It does. Now, go back to Hebrews 13. Now, commitment is wonderful. And that Psalm 15 is a wonderful description of the word and of what it means to be committed. But consistency is a step beyond commitment.
Yes.
A committed person is not always the same. Okay, he may do the same things, but a consistent person is predictable. He's the same, like we said, yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
Okay? And now listen, now look in verse 8. It says, Jesus is our example. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, a committed person can be committed to a cause.
Right?
But he may go about working for that cause incorrectly.
Right?
Are you listening to me? You can be committed to something that maybe is a good cause, but you're not doing it. You're not doing that. You're not performing the functions of that cause properly. And a lot of times, it's exactly very much religion sometimes. People think that they're committed to Christ, but they don't even know what it really means. Okay? And what I want to look at tonight is not just being committed to a cause, but being consistent in who I am as I'm committed to that cause. Are you with me now? So, see, these new churches that we have today that are filling up with people and growing right like weeds and have all kinds of people in them and all kinds of fun and games and excitement, they may be committed to something, but they're going about it completely wrong.
That's not
okay to be just committed to the wrong thing or committed to the right thing the wrong way. It's not okay. So we need to learn to be consistent like Jesus is consistent. And listen, I want you to notice again, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, it's pointing to the consistency of the person. He himself, Jesus Christ. He is the man Christ Jesus, right?
Amen.
He is the consistent one. He doesn't always do, now listen now, he didn't always and doesn't always, but especially when he was on the earth, he didn't always do the same thing.
Right.
Stay with me now. Okay? Sometimes he was weeping.
Amen.
Other times he was whipping. Amen. He prepared a bullwhip and he drove those money changers out of his father's house. Sometimes he was preaching.
Yeah.
I mean, he was scolding and scalding those Pharisees. Other times, he was teaching gently and winning people, like the Samaritan, that woman at the well. Sometimes he was preaching, sometimes he was teaching. Other times, he was out all night praying. So he didn't always, it's not a matter of doing so. I don't want you to think so much about doing things here tonight. I want you to think about being something. Being consistent is different than doing something constantly. Okay? Okay? Some of you were here Sunday night. I talked about the way that we overcome the law of sin, which is the law of gravity, right? The way that we overcome that is we attach ourselves to the greater power, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? Now that's commitment. I'm committed to Christ. I'm committed to His power. But you understand, I could be there and still be kind of this one. In this example, these two are very identical. You understand? But these two could be very different people. And see, they could both be attached to this. You see, but yet in their own personal lives, they could be very different. Okay. So commitment is being committed to staying on in the Spirit and being walking in the Spirit. But while I'm there, while I'm attached to the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, I need to be consistent as a person also. Okay? Stay with me now. I know I'm trying to get this. In other words, Jesus was and is and always will be the same. Okay? But we're going to see how that works in our own personal lives. Obviously, we're not Jesus. Look in verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. It's a good thing the heart be established with grace. So what we see here in verse 9 is that this consistency, listen, is a heart matter.
That's right.
It's a heart matter. Commitment is a heart matter, but commitment can be done, like I said, a lost man can be committed to something. Okay? An unsaved man can be committed to something. But I'm talking about you and me as Christians being committed to the cause of Christ and being consistent as Christians while we're doing it. Okay? You see the difference there, how they work together? Understand, it's a heart matter. In other words, it's an individual decision. It's an individual heart matter. Obviously, Jesus' heart was always right.
Amen.
Right? No matter he was weeping or whipping, he was always right. When he was scolding and preaching, rebuking, or he was tenderly winning someone to himself, his heart was always right. That's what I'm talking about tonight, is having a heart that's consistent, amen, consistently right in the eyes of God.
Amen.
I tell you, that's a whole lot more challenging than being committed to something.
Right.
It's a whole lot more challenging than because you can be, like I said, you can be committed to something, but how many of you ever come to church, amen, just excited about Jesus, singing from the bottom of your heart, loving the Lord? Other times you come because it's the right thing to do.
Oh.
Right? And we're human. I mean, we're human. Right. We're all going to have long days, hard days, trying days, tired days, sick days, all kinds of, but we would do much better if we would learn to be consistent in who we are day by day. Day by day. I think it's more possible than what we tend to agree with. I think it's more possible than what we tend to think it is.
Right.
Okay? I don't think we're supposed to be in and out, up and down all the time. Let's read on here. Jesus' heart was always right. It says here, it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. If my heart is right in the sight of God, I'll be consistent.
Right. Amen.
I'll be like Christ.
Yeah.
Aren't we supposed to be like Christ?
That's right.
Aren't we supposed to be more like Christ? Isn't that what the Bible says, that the Lord is working in us and on us and through us to make us more and conform to the image of Christ? The key then, dearly beloved, to this consistency is your heart.
Yep.
Keeping thine heart with all diligence. In other words, let me say it this way. Don't be concerned about keeping everybody else's heart right.
Right.
Okay? Independent Baptists, sometimes we're good at that, but we don't have that's not a bad deal in our church. Thank God for that.
Amen.
But we can't let ourselves get worried about whatever. Listen, if we'll all take care of our hearts, amen. That's why the Bible says, keep thine heart with all diligence. It's up to you to keep your heart right. It's up to me to keep my heart right. If we're all focused on keeping my heart and your heart right, then all of our hearts will be right. We don't have to worry about each other.
Amen.
Amen. But see, the key is to keep your heart right. According to our text here in verse 9, in order to keep my heart, protect my heart, it must be established, notice, with grace. I want you to notice it says, not with meats.
Yeah.
The preacher, now what are we talking about here? Okay, meats is referencing religion, rituals, you know, all kinds of works and all kinds of let's put it this way, laws, Sabbath days, you know, I can't eat this meat, I can't eat that meat. You understand, that's what was going on with these Jews back here in the book of Hebrews. They would tell them they had to be, you know, they had to be circumcised, they had to keep Moses' law, they couldn't eat this meat, they could only eat that meat, and they could only watch the Sabbath day, observe the Sabbath day. All of that is garbage, folks, amen. Grace has trumped, amen, all of that. There's no more of that mechanical stuff that we got to, that's not what this is all about. Listen, that kind of person will never grow even if he is saved.
Yeah. Right.
You cannot grow in works. The Bible says to grow in grace.
Yeah.
Grace.
Yeah.
See, the Bible even says right here, those that it says, be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. They've never grown. They get so caught up in crossing my T's and dotting my I's. And listen, I'm not talking about disobeying God and living in sin. Okay, I think I can say that safely to this crowd. I'm not talking about disobeying God and willfully sinning on purpose. But I'm talking about not being caught up in the rites and the laws and the rituals, amen, of what you see in the Bible that the old Jews used to do in the Old Testament. That's not what saved you. That's not what's going to grow you. That's not what's going to establish your heart. That's not what's going to make you consistent. I mean, have you ever noticed how the churches that preach a work salvation, they are the most inconsistent people in the world? They go to church and they talk about all these works and they do all those works. You know, they kneel and they bow and they cross themselves and they do this and they do that and they go home and get drunk.
Come on.
Hello. Yep. That's completely inconsistent. That's as far from Jesus as you can be.
Yeah.
Amen. So that's not what this is all about. It's not about doing all of these rituals and rites and ordinances. And it's about you and me understanding grace is what made us free. Grace is what changed our hearts. Grace is what saved our souls. Jesus Christ, amen, the Bible says was full of truth, grace and truth.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
These things of meats and laws and rituals never do anything, never grow anybody. It's only achieved by grace. It's only achieved in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to notice this word established here in verse 9. The Bible says it's to be your heart needs to be established. Okay, what does that mean, preacher? It means to be set.
Yeah.
Let me give you some other words. It means to be fixed firmly. Can I say it this way? Anchored.
Yeah,
okay. Anchored.
Yeah.
Your heart. Not your hands.
Right.
Your heart. By the way, your hands will follow your heart.
Amen.
Your hands, your feet will follow your heart.
Right.
Amen. Your wallet will follow your heart.
Right.
God says, listen, this whole thing is a matter of the heart.
Yep.
It's being established. It means being founded, being settled. Listen now, permanently.
Yeah.
Permanently.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be a blessing to get to a place where you were permanently fixed on Jesus Christ and nothing could move you away? Listen, I believe that's possible, y'all. It's possible. There are people that I would say, you know, I just don't know if you're going to, you know, be here from 1 week to the next. But there's other people that I say, I know he's going to be here. I know she's going to be there.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to be at the same level spiritually as far as growth goes, but we should be all progressing in that direction.
Right.
And the fact of the matter, it's only going to happen by grace.
Right.
It's only going to happen when our heart is established, it's fixed, it's founded. Listen, the word established means to settle or fix something that's wavering.
Amen.
Yeah.
Something that's doubtful or weak. You know, when you first got saved, that's where you were. That's where we all were. We got saved, but it's still weak.
Right.
It's still very easily wavering, you know, to and fro, tossed to and fro, right? It's still very easy to be taken away by the storms of life. But God says, listen, it's a good thing. It's God's will that the heart be established with grace.
Amen.
We should desire that, folks.
Right.
We should want more than anything. I mean, sometimes don't you get tired I don't know, I mean, maybe I'm speaking for myself, but sometimes I get tired of, you know, thinking, I shouldn't be thinking like that. I shouldn't, those thoughts shouldn't even cross my mind. Where did that come from? Or why did I say that? Why did I think that? You know what that is? That's inconsistency. Granted, we're never going to be there. Don't start pointing. I know that. But we ought to be getting closer and closer as we grow in grace.
Yeah.
We ought to have less and less regrets about the day when we go to bed at night as we grow in grace. We ought to be noticing, hey, you know what? There's a time in my life where I would have handled that situation wrong, but thank God I handled it right today.
Yeah.
I responded to my wife or my husband or my child or my parents or my co-worker, I responded differently because my heart was more fixed, amen, with the grace of God.
Amen.
Consistent. That's what we're talking about. Being consistent, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus Christ, I think we can be more like that. God wants us to be more like that. We should want to be more like that.
Amen.
That's part of being growing as a Christian. Psalm 57 verse 7 says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." What do you mean by that? Well, listen, it didn't say that everything was going well in his life. It just said, "My heart is fixed. I'm just going to sing and give praise anyway because my heart is established. My heart is settled. My heart is permanently fixed." That's the difference between those that go forward and those that fall away. It's somewhere along the way, we have to work and constantly be getting our heart established.
Right.
You understand? Don't you understand how the Bible tells us that God gives grace to the humble?
Amen.
God gives grace to the lowly.
Yep.
But God resisteth the proud.
That's right.
You see, when a person is doing everything because they have to do it, they get very boastful.
Right.
You know, they learn the Bible and then they think, okay, I've got the Bible. I've read the Bible 3 times, so I know everything now. But I'm not talking about the whole thing, but I've read the Bible 3 times.
Yeah.
You talk to people like that, don't you? And soul winning, well, I read the Bible two or three times.
Yeah.
But you know, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up.
Right.
Yeah. Knowledge puffeth up.
Sure.
Charity is what edifies.
Amen.
Charity is the love of God and the humility of Christ, where to be edified means to be built up. It means to grow.
Right.
It's not just knowledge, folks. Right. There's got to be more. We've got to have a heart that's established with the grace of God. That's fixed, amen, that's settled, that's on point, amen.
Amen. Yeah.
See, we ought to desire that.
You,
oh, so many times, you know the difference when your heart is right and when it's not.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
God is always working at us, by the way, to do this. It, look back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's just a couple books before Hebrews there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. God is always doing things in our lives to help us get to this place. Verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 3:13, "To the end, He may establish your hearts." Who? God. "To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." Wow. Anything that God's doing in your life, there's a purpose. The Bible says to the end, or that means for the purpose. For the purpose that He may establish your heart. He may get your heart fixed. Because an unstable heart is a double-minded man.
Right.
Are you listening? A very unfaithful, unstable, double-minded man.
Right.
So God's working in our hearts to establish our hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Wow. Is that possible?
Amen.
I mean, that's what it says.
Amen.
So that means I have some very high standards that God set for me. But don't worry about it. God's the one that's going to make that happen. God's the one that's doing things in your life to bring you to that point. Because you see, when He comes back for us with all of His saints, when He comes in the clouds and we're caught up together, amen, to meet Him in the air, listen, He doesn't want us to be ashamed. He wants our hearts to be established and fixed and settled, amen, and not going anywhere.
Amen.
But we don't have to wait till the rapture, y'all. Amen. Because we don't know when that, because it's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Hey, there's a memory verse. The last trump, the trumpet shall sound. Amen. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Glory. Amen. God's working in our hearts now so we can be established when Jesus comes back, so we can have unblameable holiness in God's eyes. Unbelievable. That's amazing, but that's what it says.
Amen.
We need to allow our hearts to be established.
Amen.
That's a big one right there.
Right.
Look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Verse 5, Philippians 2 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now look, that first word means to allow. Allow this mind to, let this mind, let your mind, you see, you have the mind of Christ when you get saved.
Amen.
Okay, when you get saved, you have Christ in you, all of Christ.
Right.
That includes his mind, his heart. Let this mind be in you. In other words, let this mind take over. Let the mind of Christ do the thinking for you.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of mind is that? Look what it says. The Bible tells us how he, being in form of God, thought it not robbery to equal with God, but made himself.
Yeah.
Now, we're not equal with God, folks. Understand that.
That's right.
But he's in us.
Yeah. Right.
And if his mind is working in us, then he's going to make us of no reputation.
Yeah.
Now, you can read on if you want to. I know you are, but listen, that's far enough right there.
Yeah.
99%, I would say, of God's people live to build their reputation.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus was God in the flesh.
Right.
Manifest God, manifest to you and me, come down, born of a virgin, living a sinless life, coming to seek and to save filthy, wretched sinners like you and me, lost sheep, amen. And he said, "I've come to seek and to save, to give my life a ransom for you." And listen, he said, "I didn't come to make myself a reputation."
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And he says, "Now let that mind be in you."
Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. It really is all about soul winning, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. See, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. These are things that he did. You say, he's God. He had to do it. The Bible says he learned obedience. The Bible says he took him upon himself. He was made in the likeness of men. You see, he's God, y'all. Hey, listen, let me tell you a secret, Jalen. He didn't have to do that.
Right. That's right.
Y'all hear all that?
Amen.
What did I say? He didn't have to do that.
Right.
God did not have to condescend to men of low estate and give his life and shed his blood for you and me.
Right.
I mean, couldn't he have just started over?
Yeah.
Just what? Brother Ogden used to always say, if I was God, I would have just wiped Adam and Eve off and started over. Oh, God, thank you. He wasn't God. But the truth of the matter is, he didn't have to do this.
Right.
He took upon himself the form that he made himself in the likeness of. He was found in fashion as a man. Notice in verse 8. Look, he humbled what? Himself. Lord have mercy. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you.
Right.
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 If you ever want to read some convicting scripture, read this. Just read these verses over and over and over by yourself, late at night or early in the morning, and just let God show you who this our Savior really is.
Amen.
And then he says, let this mind be in you.
Right.
Let this be the description of your life. Wow.
Yeah.
You know why his heart was so, you know why he was so established? Well, he's Jesus. I understand that. But he was also the man, Christ Jesus.
Right.
How is he so consistent? Because he humbled himself. Because he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Yeah. Right.
See, if we allow our hearts to be established in grace, then we can really be understanding and begin to understand what it means to be a Christian, to live a consistent Christian, to be like Christ.
Right.
Some realities here. Go back to Hebrews 13. a few realities here. Number one, Jesus was consistent. Look what it says in verse 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Jesus was consistent in his doctrine. He said, of course he was. He was God. I understand that. You understand? I know that. But listen, you and I, this is written to you and me. Okay? We have to be consistent in our doctrine. Jesus' doctrine was God's doctrine. Our doctrine needs to be God's doctrine. The doctrine of the Bible. Why do you think it is that there's over 200 versions and perversions of the Bible? Because man is absolutely and completely unstable. That's why they're so unstable. I mean, that's why they can't find any direction. That's why they're so unfixed, if that's a word. Unsettled. See, John 8:28, Jesus said, "As my Father hath taught me, I speak." I mean, he did not say anything that his Father did not tell him to say. He did not do anything his Father did not tell him. Listen, he spoke the doctrines of God. That's all he did. And he was consistent in his doctrine. Nobody could ever move him away from what the plan of salvation is, was, and ever will be. Doctrine, amen. Doctrine is very crucial if you're going to be consistent. Doctrine, you can't, I know I'm going to repeat a lot of things, but you cannot just listen to any and every old preacher because they have different doctrines. And you're going to be a confused mess. You don't need another preacher. If you need more preaching, call me. I'm always ready. Oh, put a recording on or something. Amen. You can't sleep at night. Amen. Find it. I'll talk you to sleep. I'll preach you to sleep. But listen, seriously, you've got to be consistent in your doctrine. You've got to be very careful about letting strange and diverse and strange, that's what the Bible says, strange doctrines. Amen. Look over in 2 Timothy. I've got to hurry here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit, that's capital S, amen, speaketh expressly. There's no doubt about this, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That's an unstable heart. Right. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits. Where are those seducing spirits coming from? Doctrines of devils. That false doctrine is not just there because somebody believes something different. It's there on purpose. It's there straight out of the fiery pits of hell to take you away from the faith. It's not just a change and not just a difference. It's a big time devil trap to pull you away. Listen, it's happening all the time. People are thinking, well, that's probably not true. Amen. That's why you got to get yourself in the Bible. You got to get yourself in a Bible preaching church. You got to be faithful and consistent, amen, in walking with God. So your doctrines will be Jesus' doctrines. The Bible says that when those folks got saved in Acts chapter 2, they continued. The very first thing it says, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, which was Jesus' doctrine, which was God's doctrine. It's important that you have consistent doctrine. You can't just open yourself up to anybody and everybody that talks about Jesus. You understand there's other gospels out there that are cursed. Do I need to? I have to show it to you anyway. Amen. Look in Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel, Paul says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him, that's Jesus, that called you into the grace of Christ. There's that grace again, established by grace. Unto, look what it says, unto another gospel. And then it says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. And would pervert the gospel. Yeah. Amen, Brother Max. Acts 2:38. That's a prison thing, amen. You had to be there, I guess. Yeah. But he ran into somebody who said, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You know, you had to be baptized. Baptism's part, and that's a very charismatic Pentecostal Church of Christ. Yeah. All the non-denominationals, they just use that. Listen, but that's another gospel. Yeah. That is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Christ alone, amen, is my salvation. Not any baptism. I don't have to be baptized to have my sins removed. That's filthy heresy. That's complete. That's another gospel. That's false doctrine. And those people are just pushing it down people's throats. Amen. And they're very determined.
Right.
Aren't they? But they're very wrong.
Right.
They're very wrong. It's another gospel. The Bible says in verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed, accursed, accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Folks, listen to me. There's all kinds of doctrines out there, and preachers preaching all kinds of false doctrine and phony baloney garbage. Understand something. There's problems out there because of that. There's all kinds of confused people out there because of that. You understand? That's why those people all over that UNT campus have no idea what they believe. That's why they don't have any idea. This understanding of preaching Jesus, preaching salvation, forgiveness of sins, and they walk on by, and we offer them a gospel tract. No, I'm good. You know what? It's not because the gospel is polluted. It's not because the gospel's bad. It's not because it's bad news. It's because they've got so much other junk in their minds.
Right.
A whole hodgepodge, a whole potpourri, amen, of all kinds of doctrine that they've heard all over that stinking internet.
Right.
And so that when somebody, you know, Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen, and he uses you and me to do that.
Right.
He uses you and me to go out into the highways and hedges into the harvest fields, amen, whether it be the campus or the streets, house to house, highways and hedges, and he uses us to go out there and seek to save that which is lost.
Amen.
Well, that somebody that's lost ought to be, thank God that you're here, I need Jesus, but instead their minds are filled with garbage.
Right.
Because of those seducing spirits, those doctrines of devils.
Yeah.
Folks, you've got to be careful. You can't let you will not be established. You will never be consistent if you don't get a hold of what I'm saying. Look at 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. Now, I've preached these verses to you before, but I'm going to do it again because the Lord brought them to my heart. Paul's saying, you know, sometimes I may seem foolish. To the church at Corinth, he says, sometimes you may think I'm foolish. And by the way, it was him that wrote in 1 Corinthians, it's by the foolishness of preaching, amen, that God has chosen to save those which believe. Paul was a preacher, and some people thought he was a fool. He said, I wish you would just bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, he said, verse 2, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He says, he's talking to the church that he started there at Corinth, the people that he's won to Christ. He's preached the gospel. He said, listen, I know I may seem a little bit foolish to you. In other words, he was a little bit zealous. He was a little bit excited and a little bit strict, amen, on the doctrines. And he's the one that wrote the things I just read to you, to Timothy and to the church at Galatia. He said, I want you to understand, I'm jealous of you with godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband. That husband is Jesus. I am required and accountable to God to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That doesn't just mean, listen, pure in my body. That means pure in my doctrine.
Yeah.
My mind not filled with cursed doctrines and cursed gospels. Look what it says in verse 3. But I fear. Oh, yeah. You go ahead and be in the ministry for any amount of time, and you're going to fear that the people, by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Minds, seducing spirits, false doctrines, simplicity. Jesus Christ, listen, again, the gospel's simple.
Amen.
The righteousness of God is revealed in that gospel. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God.
Right.
Unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now listen, in other words, there's no other power. There's no other salvation. It doesn't matter who you are. That's simple. That's simple as it gets.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
But all of these false doctrines. You see, Jesus was consistent because he was consistent in his doctrine. He was grounded in what he knew to be right. So was the Apostle Paul. And listen, that's why God gave us this book. Just wake up and realize, why is this book under such attack? I'm telling you why. Because your heart can't ever be established with grace until it's established in this doctrines of this book. Verse 4 says, if he that cometh preaches another Jesus. Another Jesus? Oh boy. Isn't that amazing? They use the name Jesus. They talk about Jesus. It's not the Jesus of my Bible.
Amen.
It's not the Jesus in my heart.
Amen.
Amen. It's another Jesus. He come preach another Jesus whom we have not preached. Or you receive another spirit. That's it. There's all kinds of seducing spirits out there which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted. You might well bear with him. I said, you better be careful. If he comes preaching another spirit, another Jesus, another gospel, before I know it, you're going to be gone with him.
Paul's preaching.
Folks, listen to me. There is no way in this world I can teach you every single doctrine in this Bible. Of course, if you'd be faithful to church, you'll learn a lot more as you grow. But what I'm trying to say to you is you got to understand that the doctrines and the gospel and the it's about a spirit. Look again in verse 4. If you have received another spirit. What does that mean? That means there's a spirit behind it all that's not the Holy Spirit. Haven't you ever been, amen, like Brother Max, right in prison? And those guys are talking about Acts 2:38 and all of that garbage and baptismal regeneration. And there's another spirit there.
Right.
And it's not a Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. There's another spirit there when people are talking about false doctrine. There's another spirit there, amen. Some guy was talking to me today on the campus, and he was talking about how he was saved in 2014. But then he went on to say how you know he knows God just allows him to do whatever he wants to do, and he just can, you know, he can eat of any tree that he wants to. And I thought, well, that's not really applicable, but. He said, well, God told me that I could eat of any tree I wanted to, so I could just pursue any, as long as I'm just, you know, living for God. And then he said, of course, the whole time he's talking to me, he's got a filthy, nasty shirt on with it. I'm not even going to mention the name of the person. Some filthy, wicked 1980s, you know, pop rock star on his shirt. And he's talking about how he lives for the Lord. And I'm looking at that shirt and I'm thinking, well, you got another spirit. That is another spirit. You don't have any idea what it means to be the Christ-like. And you see, he's not established because he has no doctrine. He goes to the Rock Fellowship Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Golden Saints. One of those, what in the world? Just believe anything and everything. That's okay. That's wrong. It's wrong.
Yeah.
That's why we are old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, amen, Bible-preaching, the Baptist. Because Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist. And he preached the Baptist doctrine. And the apostles continued in Baptist doctrine. And by the grace of God, I will die in Baptist doctrine. And you need to get to that point too. Get your heart established.
Amen.
Quit being wishy-washy. Listen, if they're not Baptists, okay, that's their problem. But I'm a Baptist. Not because there's nothing else out there. Not because I grew up that way. I've studied everything I can find, amen. And nothing else is true. Jesus is the only truth.
Amen. That's right.
It's not because I will. That's just what I was brought up. Listen to me, dear beloved. If I would have found something else that was real, I would have gone that way. There's nothing else. It's Jesus. It's His precious old King James Bible.
Amen.
Doctrine. See, you won't be consistent until you're consistent in your doctrine. Diverse, strange doctrines make a man inconsistent at best. Unstable. Go back to Hebrews 13. I'm not going to get through this. That's okay. Hebrews 13. He was consistent. Jesus was consistent. Yes, because he was consistent in his doctrine. Number two, the Bible verse 9 says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. It's a good thing that the heart be established. See, he was consistent in doctrine. He was consistent in his desires. His heart was established. Folks, listen to me. John 8:28, the Bible says, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. I do always those things that please him." That's what Jesus said. Always did those things that pleased his Father. Now, he couldn't sin. I know that. I understand that. He's sinless. Impossible that he could sin. He's God. But understand something. He still had desires. And his desire was to please his Father. Because his heart was fixed. His heart was established.
Yeah.
See, everything that you do starts with a desire.
That's right.
Everything that you do stems from the heart.
Right.
And that's why the Bible says, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life."
Amen.
When you're rebellious against God, it's because you have a heart problem.
Right.
Yeah. When you're tender and submissive to the will of God, it's because your heart's right.
Amen.
That's what it is. And see, Brother Horton was preaching. Y'all know Brother Horton. He was preaching at the prison the other night, and he said something which is very true. He said, "You know what?" No, you got to hear the whole thing first.
Yeah.
He said, "You know what? I can drink as much alcohol as I want to." And he's a Baptist preacher, has been for 42 years. "I can drink as much alcohol as I want to." And I saw Brother Max say, "Whoa, wait a minute." No, but the point was, I can drink as much as I want to. I just don't want to.
Amen.
Why? Because I got a new heart.
Amen.
See, it's not about, well, you can't do this, don't do that. Because when you do that, amen, you just get rebels.
Yeah. Right.
You ever heard that old saying, amen? Was it rules without a relationship equals rebellion? If you just have rules that you're trying to follow, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because by the way, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's his person. The reason that you don't want to do what he says is not because you just can't. It's because you have a heart problem.
Right.
You don't desire to do what he says.
Right.
And we all fight that, folks. Listen to me. Every single one of us. The whole Christianity is a heart matter. It's a heart matter. It's an amen. What is it? It's a heart matter. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations. It's a heart matter. Your desires are going to control your actions. See, he was consistent in his desires. See, he kept his heart. He went all night alone with God and prayed. He got up early before the break of dawn, way before sunrise, and went out and he prayed in a solitary place.
Right.
Why? Because, listen to me, he was living a model example for you and me. Your desires are constantly, your heart is constantly bombarded by the world and the things of this world and the spirits of this world. You've got to control your heart so that you can be consistent in your desires. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be humble. I want to live for Christ. I want to be faithful. I want to be pure. I want to be straight. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to glorify him. That's why you're going to do it, or you're not, because of your desires.
That's right. Amen.
See, doctrine is good. Listen to me. That's a good start. But again, I said knowledge just puffeth up.
Right.
Charity is the heart matter.
Right.
Charity. Charity is the love of Christ. Charity is the love of God. Charity is the love of Almighty God. You see, all your desires, out of the heart proceeds everything, whether it's good or bad.
That's right.
Right.
So you have a struggle being who you're supposed to be. Men, you have a struggle leading your home. Ladies, you have a struggle submitting to your husband. Children have a struggle obeying your parents. Listen, that's in the Bible, yes. But you've got to get to a place where I desire to do what God says. That's going to make you more consistent. But you see, that's not just going to happen one day, it's going to be set forever. But it's going to get to a place where you're not even going to think twice about doing what God wants you to do. And each day, each week, each month, as you grow, what God's going to do is he's going to put trials in your life.
Right.
Okay? Trials of your faith. Why? Because he wants to get your heart to where you trust him a little more.
Right.
And bring your heart to where you trust him a little more.
Yeah.
And where you trust him a little more. See, that he's trying to establish our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's trying. Remember, I showed you that verse. He wants our hearts to be established. So we will be consistent in our doctrine, yes, but also then that will translate or overflow into our desires. Because I begin to see why God says what he says and why God does what he does and who God is.
Yeah,
it's not a rule book.
Right.
It's not a rule book. You know, somebody in their smart ass little wisdom, basic instructions before leaving earth. No, that's not what it is. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
And every time they tell me that, they just look at me like, you've never heard that, have you? And that's about all they know about the Bible, too, by the way. Basic instruction before... That's the only thing you're going to remember the whole service. Amen. It's God's Word.
Amen.
It is the Word of God.
Yes.
It is quick, amen. It is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, amen. Piercing, dividing to the spirit and soul of the spirit, amen. And discerning the tense and the thoughts and the tense of the heart. But listen, it's also God's Word.
Amen.
It's God's revelation. It's God's manifestation. It's God just revealing himself to filthy, worthless people like me. And saying, look, here's the truth. Here's my love. Here's my mercy. Here's my grace. Here's my judgment. But I love you. I'm trying to get you away from that chase. And see, and then you begin to see, doctrine is important. But doctrine keeps my life in order. So I can love God and stay right with God.
Amen.
Not because I have to follow a bunch of rules.
Oh,
amen. Like a robot. Like a little toy soldier. No. I'm doing what God says because I want to. I enjoy coming to church. I want to preach the gospel. I want to win souls to Christ. I didn't say I felt like it every day. But you know, I feel like it a lot more now than I used to when I was just barely saved.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
I feel like a lot more now than I used to. I want to do what God says. I want to see you. I look forward to you guys walking through the door so I can see you and say, amen, praise the Lord, they're here tonight. We're all together.
Amen.
I want God to help you through and grow you and help us all get move forward and win souls and have a great friend day. But not just for numbers, but for God's glory. Because I want God to be exalted, amen. That's desires. Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. How about you? How about us? I mean, do we? Is that our desire? Is that our heart? We can be consistent, have a heart established with grace. We'll be consistent in doctrine, be consistent in desires, be consistent in direction. Direction. Look what it says there in verse 9 again, back in Hebrews 13. Verse 9, it says, page turn here. His heart was established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. See, there's some people who are trying to do everything right, and it's nothing ever profits them. They have no direction. It's kind of like that boy I was talking to today. Yeah, he has no direction. He's graduating in May, and he's excited about that, and that's wonderful. But I mean, he's not living for the Lord. He has no direction. He has no idea what God's will is. Just to eat of any old tree you want to. I mean, there's God's will is more specific than that. But see, Jesus lived a profitable life. Jesus had direction when he lived. When he walked this planet, folks, listen. He said plainly, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost."
That's right.
That was his direction. That was his life. That profited him.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, look, that's why we're here today.
Amen.
That's why we're saved today.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, he specifically said, "I have come to see." He said, "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He said, "I've come to seek and to save." He said, "I'm a good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep." He knew. He had direction. He had a reason for being here.
Amen.
See, that don't make you consistent when you understand you're not just here. Amen. There's a purpose. There's some direction that God's had for your life. It's not just living. He said, "I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly."
Amen.
But that old thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Right.
Yeah. Well.
See, be consistent because you have doctrine, yes, but you have desires to please God and to go and live in the direction that He's pointing you, His will for your life. And see, Jesus said, I have finished the work thou gavest me. I have glorified thy name. He said, I have finished the work thou gavest me on the earth. He had a reason for being here. He said, I've come to redeem, I've come to reconcile. Listen, I'm not saying you're going to be a pastor or a preacher, but understand something. God does have a purpose for your life. You've got to be consistent in walking in that direction. You say, preacher, I don't know what it is. Oh man, the first thing it is just be faithful right now.
Yeah.
Serve God in whatever you have right now.
Amen.
That's your direction. Whatever you're doing right now, keep doing it and keep doing it faithfully. Again, we're talking about growing to the place where you're consistent.
Amen.
Consistent in your heart. Consistent in your desires, your doctrine, and your direction. Go to John chapter 1, and I'm finished tonight. John chapter 1. A consistent church, a consistent family, church body. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, notice, full of grace and truth. Jesus, what made Him so consistent, right? Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Truth is the Bible, of course. Full of the truth, full of the Bible. But listen, filled with the grace of God.
Right.
You and me have that opportunity to love. That's not something we cannot do.
Right.
We can be filled with grace and truth.
Amen.
We can be filled with the grace of God. The grace establishes our heart. The truth of God establishes our heart. Filled with God's Word, filled with His grace. Always remember who you are. Always remember where God brought you from. Always remember that it was only by grace, no works. That will keep you humble. That will keep you tender and soft-hearted. That will keep you submissive to His will. Quit thinking that you've arrived, that you did something, that you earned this. Listen to me. That is not at all the case. We've all been given a merciful pass. We did not deserve it. We've been justified through faith. Amen. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way we're here tonight. That's the only reason we'll be in heaven one day.
Amen.
Grace. Let it fill your heart. Let it fill your mind. Let it fill your heart, your spirit, your soul. And then let the Word of God just add to it. Just keep on throwing logs on the fire. Filled with God's grace, filled with His truth. It'll make you more and more consistent in your doctrine, in your desires, in your direction. We need some consistent Christians, amen. I know you have bad days. Remember, listen, Jesus, like I said, He didn't do the same thing every day. But He was consistent. He always did that which was according to right doctrine. He always did that which pleased His Father from His heart. And He always did that which was leading Him in the right direction to do the will of God for His life.
Amen.
Full of grace and truth. Once you start getting full of anything else, once you start getting bitterness, false doctrine, hatred, envy, strife, and on and on, that grace goes out the window. Grace goes out. Fear, doubt, despair, hopelessness. Grace is what gave me salvation. Grace is also what continues to help me serve the Lord. And one day, amen, it's going to take me straight to heaven.
Amen.
Grace. Grace. We can be more consistent, folks. Quit trying to do everything you're supposed to do because you're supposed to do it. Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is our example.
Amen.
Full of grace and truth.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father,